chose life over abortion. And here is a here is a picture of our older daughter, Eliza, when we officially completed the adoption process in Houston, Texas. And now here's a picture of Hildy and I with one of the orphanage workers when we picked up Linnea back in Chongqing, China. And she was just one of several other children that were adopted by Americans that day. And I think this is right before they all started crying. So as a father, I've experienced the blessings of adoption for over 20 years. And my daughters have both brought so much joy into my life. And I would highly recommend that you consider adopting a child someday. If any of you would like to hear of our stories of domestic or international adoption, I'd be more than happy to talk about it, because both of those experiences are amazing. But today I'm going to focus on the adoption process for my younger daughter, Linnea, because it's actually a more dramatic story. In September 2001, we began the process to adopt Linnea, and we had to fill out just mounds of paperwork. And we had to be interviewed several times by social workers, but mostly we had to do a lot of waiting. But in May of 2003, it was all worthwhile when we were finally able to hold Linnea in our arms and to see her grin back at us. We left for China on May 25 to pick her up, but we had originally planned to pick her up in the middle of June. You see, we had wanted to wait because my 72-year-old father was getting remarried on May 31st, and my 4-year-old daughter was going to be his flower girl. But on May 19th, our adoption agency told us that it was time to pick up our daughter. And I don't know if you guys remember the SARS crisis of 2003. Many people were dying of this mysterious disease. It's kind of like what's happening right now with the coronavirus epidemic. Same kind of virus. And so in May of 2003, the Chinese government began to close down different provinces to foreign tourists. And so our adoption agency told us that we had the option of leaving later to pick up our daughter, but if we didn't leave within a week with the rest of the adopting families, there was no guarantee that we would be able to pick up Linnea. It could be weeks or months or even years. We had no idea what would happen. So it was one of the most difficult decisions that we had to make. We didn't want to miss out on my dad's wedding. Besides, there was the possibility that the Chongqing government would allow us to go in June. But we did not have that guarantee, and we did not want to take the risk of having to wait many months to pick up Linnea. And so the situation, decision basically came down to this. Who needed us the most? Was it my father in Kansas, who had loved me for over 40 years at that time? Or was it my daughter in China, who had no idea who we were? The answer seemed pretty obvious, that my daughter needed us much more. So we decided to play it safe, and a week later, we were in China to pick up my daughter, and my father got married without a presence. 11 days after we came back from China, I came down with a bad fever. It was a scary time for us because I had one of the main symptoms of SARS. Now, I knew that it was highly unlikely that I'd actually gotten SARS, and it was even less likely that I would die from it. But it still frightened me to think that I might be responsible for bringing a deadly disease to America. That's not my idea of how I want to become famous. It also frightened me to think that perhaps my wife would become a single mother trying to raise two children on her own. And so a couple days later, I took a medical test to see if I had SARS. And they put this wire way up your nasal passage. And I don't know what it hits, but whatever it hits, it is like extremely painful. It's probably the greatest pain I've ever experienced. And I was yelling, and there was tears just coming down my eyes. And since I had a very high deductible, it actually cost over $1,000 just to take that test. Well, fortunately, the test results came out negative. But I wondered, why did God make the adoption process so difficult? Why did we have to wait so long for our daughter? Why did we have to miss out on my father's wedding? Why did I have to experience the SARS scare? It's not like I have the mind of God, but I think that there may be two reasons why we had to go through all of that. The first, I believe, that God might have wanted to test our commitment to our new daughter. Did we love her enough to make the necessary sacrifices for her? But secondly, and even more importantly, I believe God wanted us to meditate on the sacrifices that he made in order for him to adopt us into his family. When I think about the sacrifices that God made for me so that he could adopt me into his family, my sacrifices seem so insignificant. I didn't suffer when I went to China. We stayed in 5-star hotels. But Jesus had to leave his mansions of glory. He had to leave the company of his Father to come to this world to live in extreme poverty and to be ridiculed by the creatures that he had created. When we went to China, we knew that there was a minute chance that we could catch the SARS and die from it. But Jesus entered this world dreading for eternity past that he would die the most excruciating possible death when he would be sacrificed and be crucified on the cross to experience the punishment of hell for billions of people. Some people might think, why would we make all these sacrifices for a child in China who did not know us, much even less love us? But as the saying goes, love is its own reward. It was worth all the sacrifice to have somebody that we could love and somebody who would love us. And in a similar way, but infinitely more magnificent, in God's eyes, it was worth all the sacrifice that he made so that he could demonstrate his love to us and so that he could experience our love. And since God was willing to make all of these sacrifices for us, since he was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice for us, we can now experience the blessings of being adopted by him. But what are the blessings we can experience by being adopted by our Heavenly Father? Well, in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons." In this verse, the Apostle Paul introduces us to the topic of adoption. And then in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 39, the Apostle Paul gives us, or tells us about, four different blessings of being adopted. And these are the blessings my daughters have experienced to a small degree by being adopted into our family. But these are blessings that we can experience to an infinite degree by being adopted into the family of God the Father. So, the first blessing that we can experience can be found in verses 15 and 16, where the Apostle Paul writes, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." The first blessing of being adopted is the blessing of Abba, love. In fact, the word Abba is a term of affection that the Aramaics used for their father, much like today we would use the term daddy or papa or dad instead of father when we address our fathers. To experience Abba love means that we have a warm relationship with God. When my older daughter, Eliza, was 2 years old, we took her to the zoo with a bunch of other children from our summer day camp. And she heard some of the other children call me Pastor Paul. And so she thought it would be funny, and so she started calling me Pastor Paul. But that only lasted a few hours. Later that day, she started calling me Papa. Now, I don't mind my daughter calling me Pastor Paul because it's kind of funny she did that. But I prefer that when she was a child that she called me Papa, or now she calls me Dad, because it's one way that I can tell that she is experiencing father love or Papa love. And now there are really only two people in this world that have the right to call me Papa, to call me Dad, and their names are Lisa and Linnea. There's a unique fatherly affection that I have for these two girls that I do not have for anybody else. Now, if any of you want to call me Dad, you could, but I'd probably give you kind of a strange look. You are not my child. Either by adoption or by childbirth. So, technically speaking, you really do not have the right to call me Dad. In the same way, not everybody has the right to call God the Father their Abba or Papa either. Take a look at John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, where the Apostle John writes, "Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Jesus came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Jesus came into this world to live and to die so that we could be adopted into God's family. We now all have the opportunity to become children of God, but only those who accept God's invitation to be adopted have the right to call him their father. They are the only ones who have the right to be called children of God. And the way that you accept this invitation is to believe in the name of Jesus. What does it mean to believe in a name? It means that we believe that the meaning of the name is true. For example, my older daughter, Eliza, her name means to be consecrated or dedicated to God. And I believe in that name because I've just seen how committed she is to serve. whether it's serving in our youth ministry here or serving on mission trips in the past and also this summer, or just the way that she treats needy people with so much care and love. The name Linnea means mountain flower. To believe in the name of Linnea means that I believe that she is as lovely as a mountain flower. So it's easy for me to believe that that's true. Now the name of Jesus means Savior. And so to believe in the name of Jesus means that you believe that Jesus died on the cross to save you from hell. So the pop religious belief that God is the Father of all mankind is erroneous. Only those who believe in Jesus as their personal Savior have the right to be called children of God. In other words, only Christians have the right to call God their Abba or Papa. So perhaps you're not a Christian here today and God seems cold and impersonal. Well, there's a good reason for that. You're still a spiritual orphan and God is a stranger to you. But the truth is, God is not cold and impersonal. He wants to adopt you. He wants to become your papa. Now, imagine that you are a little orphaned street urchin just scrounging through a garbage dumpster for food. You peek outside your garbage bin and you see a Rolls Royce driving your way. And it slows to a stop and the rear window slides down. It's going to be somebody else. Yeah. A distinguished gentleman in a business suit pokes his head out and says, "Excuse me, little boy, but might your name be Joey?" You say, "Yeah, that's me." You say, "My name is Warren Lambert III, and I'm your long-lost great-uncle. I've been looking all over for you. If it would be all right for you, I would like to adopt you into my family. I would like you to become my son. If you become my son, you will have all the privileges of my other son, but you will be expected to obey all the rules of the house. But don't worry, I only want what's best for you." It's at that point that you would need to decide, would you rather enjoy your freedom on the street with all the danger and all of the grind, or would you rather enjoy a papa love in a home of a wealthy benefactor who only wants the best for you? If you're not a Christian today, you need to make the same decision. Would you rather enjoy the freedom of being in control of your own life, or would you rather enjoy the love of your Father in heaven? He's already finished all the paperwork in for you. Now it's up to you whether you will accept or reject the offer of adoption. Accept the offer of adoption by believing in the name of Jesus Christ today. In other words, believe in Jesus as your Savior because he died on the cross for your sins. The second blessing of adoption can be found in verses 16 through 17. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. The second blessing of adoption is the blessing of extravagant love. The extravagant love of an incredible inheritance. Hildy and I have already drawn out our will. According to our will, if both of us should die, Linnea and Eliza would receive our entire inheritance. But what would happen if, hypothetically, Hildy would give birth to a son? She's kind of old for that, but play along with me here. If Hildy would give birth to a son, would he receive a greater inheritance because he would be of our own flesh and blood? No. Each of the three would receive an equal third of the inheritance because they would have all an equal part of our hearts. In the same way, Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. He is the only one who is of the same essence of God the Father. All the rest of us, children of God, have been adopted into God's family. But according to this passage, we as Christians are co-heirs with Jesus, even though none of us deserve to be in his family. God's inheritance is heaven, and we all get to enjoy heaven with Jesus. But what's it going to be like to enjoy heaven with Jesus? Take a look at verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Think about the worst thing that has ever happened to you. Perhaps you've been cheated out of a large sum of money. Perhaps you've been abused as a child. Or perhaps you are suffering with chronic pain. All of those problems are serious. And all of those things are worthy of grieving over. But according to this passage, the worst of the problems that we have here on earth will seem like a hangnail on a luxury cruise compared to the lavish inheritance we will relish in heaven. In other words, all the years of suffering on earth will only seem like a blip on the radar screen of eternity. Well, the third blessing of adoption can be found in verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. The third blessing of adoption is the blessing of providential love. The dictionary defines providence as the foreseen care and guardianship of God over his creatures. So providential love is a love that God makes sure that everything is going to turn out okay. Now, Hildy and I want to provide for the needs of our daughters, so we do a lot of things for them behind the scenes. And before either of my daughters were even in kindergarten, Hildy and I met with our financial advisors. And one of the things that we discussed is that we wanted to finance our daughters' college education. And we knew that they would not be able to make enough money in order to enter college or to afford education that would cost them tens of thousands of dollars. So we discussed how we would invest and save to make college more affordable. And while we were discussing this, Deliza was watching a Barney video, just totally oblivious to what we were trying to do for her. Though she didn't know what we were doing, we were providing for her behind the scenes. Now, obviously, I'm limited in my wisdom, love and wealth, and I have no one guarantee that I will be able to fulfill these dreams for my daughters. But if I, with my limitations, am so concerned about providing for my two adopted children, how much more can we as Christians be confident that God in all of his infinity will work behind the scenes to make sure that we receive all that? Have you ever watched Bob Ross and his art shows on PBS? So the artist puts globs of paint all over the canvas and you're thinking, man, this looks awful. But at the very end, he carefully brushes in some extra colors and all of a sudden the picture comes alive and you think, wow, this is really beautiful. But the picture wouldn't have been beautiful without the ugly globs. And that's the way it is for us adopted children of God. As this verse says, God causes all things to work together for good. And that doesn't mean that all things are good. It's not good when somebody gossips about you. It's not good when you get into a car accident. And for the non-Christians, this just seems like bad luck. But as an adopted child of God, you can know that our Papa is a master designer. He's going to use all those ugly things to bring about some good. The fourth blessing of adoption can be found in verses 38 and 39. Let's read these verses together. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. By being adopted into God's family, we not only get to enjoy the blessing of Papa love, we not only get to enjoy the blessing of extravagant love, and we not only get to enjoy the blessing of providential love, but we also get to enjoy the blessing of unconditional love. So, in order to adopt Linnea, the Chinese government demanded that we sign a contract that says we will never abuse or abandon our daughter. Now, there was no real need for me to sign this contract because I had already committed to love both of my daughters no matter what. They could spit in my face, or they could call me uncool, or they could flunk out of school, or they could be sent to prison because they sold drugs, or they could even deny the Christian faith. I would still love. Would these things break my heart? Of course they would. Would I have to discipline them for some of these actions? Of course. But no matter what they would do or will do, nothing will be able to separate them from the love of their father, because they're my children. I would always welcome them back with open arms. Now, my love for my daughters is far from perfect, but God's love for us is perfect. This passage indicates that if we are truly adopted into God's family, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Our sins, our failures, our doubts, and even Satan himself cannot separate us from the love of our heavenly Papa. Would these things break God's heart? Of course they would. Would God have to discipline us for some of these actions? Of course. But no matter what we could do, nothing would be able to separate us from the love of God, because we are his children. He will always welcome us back with open arms. Now, Hilly and I adopted two other members into our family before we ever got Elisa and Linnea. One of them was named Toby, and the other was named Bronte. Toby was our cat. When we went to the Society of Prevention for Cruelty of Animals, we had thought about getting a kitten, but we knew that if we didn't bring home a kitten, somebody else would probably do. But if we did not bring home an adult cat, most likely the cat would be put to sleep. Then we saw Toby, and he was a huge cat. He weighed about 14 pounds. And when we took him out of the cage, he just melted into my arms, and he roared the loudest purr I've ever heard. So we took him home. And for the next few weeks, he would look up into our eyes just so gratefully, almost as if we were his gods. But as the months went by, Toby began to change. Instead of looking at us grateful, he began to take us for granted. He would pick and choose the times he would purr for us. And it was almost as if Toby started to think that we're not God, but he's God. And he thought we were his unworthy subjects. And in his later years, Toby moved into Hildy's parents' house. And whenever we came to visit, he hid in a storeroom, and he didn't even allow us to touch him. Now, Bronte was our dog. She was the opposite of Toby. She loved to be around us. She was affectionate. She was obedient. Her greatest desire was to please us. So my adopted brothers and sisters, who are you more like? Toby or Bronte? Stop taking your Heavenly Father for granted. Instead, love him, be affectionate, be obedient, and make your greatest desire to please him, because he has sacrificed so much in order to adopt you. When I was a boy, I wanted to adopt a stray cat who had come into our farm into our farm family. She had began to hang around our house and eat our cat food. And every day I would approach her with the desire to pet her, but every day she would run away from me. And finally, one day, I walked up to her, and she actually allowed me to pet her. And when I walked away from her, she ran up to me, climbed up my leg, grabbed onto my arm, and just started biting it. I'm serious. And I just like screamed out in horror. I was only like fourth grade. I wanted to love that cat, but apparently the cat thought I wanted to hurt her. And now I still have scars on my arm to show how much I love that cat. Now, if you are not a Christian here today, the Lord wants to adopt you into his family. And he has scars in his hands and his feet to show you how much he loves you. He has done all the legal paperwork. You are legally his, but it's up to you to accept or reject his offer of adoption. Will you reject him because you assume that he would be an abusive or negligent father? Or will you melt into his arms and let him adopt you? You can join the family of God if you sincerely pray the following prayer. And let's pray this together. Dear God, I want to become part of your family. I'm sorry for all the bad things that I've ever done. Please forgive me. I believe that your son Jesus died on the cross to take the punishment of my sin. And I believe that he rose again to give me eternal life. Come into my life and change me. In Jesus' name. So how will you respond to God's unconditional, providential, extravagant love? I hope that if you're not a Christian here today, that you will put your faith in Jesus so that he can adopt you into his Father's family. If you are already a Christian, I hope you can regain your sense of wonder and gratitude for the blessings of adoption by meditating on God's love for you. So that's our opportunity right now, is to do that by standing up and singing a song of response. As we do sing, there's another opportunity to express our love, and that is by